This is Marathon Trading Academy, episode 22.
Hello, welcome to Marathon Training Academy, found online at marathontrainingacademy.com. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this episode, Angie covers part two of the 10 biggest mistakes runners make. And in the quick tip, she tells you how to save money on running gear. Plus, we have a special announcement to make. Marathon Training Academy member is opening up October 4th.
Yes.
Some of you out there were probably thinking the special announcement would be that Angie's had her baby.
I wish.
Yeah. That could be any day now, too.
It could. Actually, working on this membership site has been somewhat like giving birth in the amount of intensity that it's required and the amount of work and everything.
Yeah, I know every time I see you over there on your computer studying and researching and creating content and, well, maybe not every time, but you're quite a lot.
When I'm not reading frivolous fiction.
Oh, but yeah, it's going to be awesome. Some of the courses in there are just going to be really, really helpful.
Yeah, basically MTA Member is my step-by-step system for conquering the marathon and staying in great shape. This is going to be an exclusive membership site for those who want more help from me in their training. I'm going to give you all my strategies, secrets, and tips for building and maintaining optimal health and conquering the marathon distance over and over again while staying injury-free.
Okay, so hopefully October 4th will be the big day that the Marathon Training Academy, actually we're going to call it MTA member, because sometimes Marathon Training Academy is
a mouthful.
Yeah, so we'll call it MTA member, and it'll officially open hopefully October 4th, and we'll be announcing that the exact time of the opening through our email newsletter. And if you would like to go over and sign up for our email newsletter so you can get in on the action, you can go over to our website, marathontrainingacademy.com, and you'll see on the side a quick little form to get a free audio gift called The 7 Pillars of Successful Marathon Training. That's a free audio gift that you can download. And also get signed up for our email list and be apprised of what's going on.
That's right.
All right, so Angie, how does it feel to get kicked off of Facebook?
Yes, officially I have been disbarred.
Yeah, I told her to cut out all that violence and profanity, but
I just couldn't do it. No, if you do too many actions or send too many messages in a short period of time, then they give you this violation warning. And apparently that I had gotten the warning one too many times, and so they disabled my account. So for those of you who have sent me a message and have not heard from me, that's because my account is disabled. And hopefully it'll be up and running again sometime soon. We've got about 1,465 Facebook fans, and it's just great to have all of you on there and interacting. Really enjoyed that. So thank you for all of you who have posted and sent messages.
And what happened was every new fan that we receive, Angie was sending them a greeting and a welcome. And then also every time one of our fans got on the page and posted something, she would always reply and tell them, you know, great job, or answer their questions. So you were quite active on there every day, just talking to people in our community. And it was just a great way to connect with all the runners out there that are making some amazing progress. But I guess you're a little bit too active these days.
I know. I'm going through withdrawal right now.
Yeah, and if you do have a specific question for Angie, you can always go over to our blog, and there's the Ask Angie page there where you can send her a question, and she'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, if you'd like to share your running story with me too, I always love to get those. In fact, we've heard from some people, and we'd like to give some shout-outs today. The first one comes from Steve, and he lives in the UK. He says, "Hi, Angie. Congratulations to Trevor and yourself on a superb podcast. I listen to the episodes as soon as they're released. I ran the London Marathon in 2009, really enjoyed it, regretted not entering last year, and have now picked up my training with the aim of running London 2011. Crossing that finish line was the best feeling in the world. Hard to describe the sense of achievement felt at the time. It even inspired my 8-year-old son to join his school cross-country team. Keep up the very good work. And that's from Steve. I can definitely identify with Steve because crossing that marathon finish line, it's just hard to describe the feelings of accomplishment and emotion and achievement that you feel. It's wonderful. So thanks for sharing that experience with us, Steve.
Yeah, it's awesome how he's inspired his son, too. And that's the good thing about living an active life and being healthy is that it kind of rubs off on other people around you.
Definitely, it does. The second message comes from Ivy, and she lives in Iowa. She says, "Angie, I thoroughly enjoy listening to your podcast during my morning commute. I started listening during training for my first half marathon and continue to listen as I approach my second here in Des Moines in October. I know you like personal runner stories, and so do I, so here is mine." She said, "I started running track in 8th grade and have never really stopped. I'm 26 now, so that's about 12 years of running. I often wish I could write my 8th grade gym teacher a thank you letter because without him, I may never have pursued and fallen in love with distance running. I am thankful every day that I have running to make me feel strong, to give me time to daydream, and to allow me to use the body God gave me. I've had 2 stress fractures, plantar warts surgically removed from both feet, and struggled past Graves' disease. But I've always come back to running because it does all the things I need. Thank you, Angie and Trevor, for continuing to talk about the thing I love as well. It's hard to find an entertaining, non-annoying running podcast, and you two have succeeded." That's from Ivy.
Wow, it's so nice to know that we're non-annoying. Yeah, but that's awesome. It definitely looks like running has come to define her life in a very, very positive way.
Exactly, and it's brought her through so many things that, you know, she might have struggled more with if she had not had something positive to put her energy into and to give her confidence.
Yeah.
The third message comes from Neil. He also lives in the UK. He says, "Hi, Angie. First, I really love the podcast. It's so great to hear people talking about running so passionately and realistically. It's really inspiring. I'm working my way through your archive. Having trained for long-distance events, your advice has really been spot on, and I wish Marathon Training Academy was around in 2006. I ran the London Marathon in 06 in 4 hours and 10 minutes and then stopped running almost completely. I then took up triathlons in 08 and completed in a few different races from sprint to Olympic distance, and in 2009 completed the UK Half Ironman, finishing in 5 hours and 53 minutes, and stopped completely again. I have found your podcast a real breath of fresh air and exactly what I need to build up the right mindset to get back into fitness. The main thing is your podcast has made me question my motivation and mindset. As you can see, I have the tendency to go for a big goal and then be so exhausted and fed up with the training that even though I love it and the event itself, I have no mental energy left to get back on the road and run. You and Trevor have really helped bring home the importance of having a more holistic and long-term approach to running and fitness in general. A very big thank you. As I'm working my way through the podcast, I can't work out if you've already had your baby, but I pray that you and your family are safe, well, and happy. I also hope Trevor is continuing in his newfound love of running, but also hope he does not lose his love of Mexican food. My very best wishes, Neil."
Well, you don't have to worry about that, Neil.
I can only wish. Yeah, your mindset really does play a key part in accomplishing your goals, and it is important to look at running as something that you're going to do throughout your whole life and not just do one big event and then burn out and never do it again. We want this to be something that can be a lifestyle for you.
Yeah, we'd like you to be able to run when you're 86 years old.
That's right, for however long you live.
So keep up the good work, all of you out there who are just taking action every day and building a more healthy and happy life.
That's right.
Well on my way, well on my way, well on my way.
Okay, now we're going to get into part 2 of what we began on the last episode, and that is the 10 mistakes that Angie has seen runners make. So, mistake number 6 is not fueling or hydrating properly.
The human body is a marvelous organism that's dependent on regular food consumption, as we all know. The long-distance runner has an increased need for calories to provide the necessary energy. But what kind of foods should the runner choose? And is running an excuse to eat whatever you want? These are just a few of the questions that runners frequently ask. When you begin to incorporate longer runs into your schedule, you'll want to start focusing more on nutrition. Focus on eating real food. I've heard people say that what you eat is 50% of your success in training. And, you know, I don't know the exact percentage if I could pin it down, but it is very important. The majority of your diet should be composed of simple, unprocessed, natural foods, such as vegetables, fruits, whole grains, low-fat dairy, and lean meat. Now, if your goal is to lose weight, you'll need to carefully combine running with cutting calories. You'll need to learn to drink on the run if you're planning on running for an hour or more. If the weather's hot, you'll need to hydrate earlier and with greater frequency. Now, water is fine unless you'll be running for more than 60 minutes. At this point, your body is going to be using up its reserve of carbohydrates, and it'll need to be replenished with an easily digestible sugar and electrolyte mix. There are many good sports drinks to choose from, so you can experiment and find one that works well for you. You need to practice hydrating before, during, and after your run. Now, as far as eating goes, a good guideline is not to be stuffed or starved before going out on your run. Don't eat anything at least 1 hour before your run. 2 hours is best, unless you have an iron stomach. Also, find out what your body digests easily, and eat something around 200 to 300 calories before a run of 90 minutes or more. Generally, low-fiber carbohydrates are the best option. Try to avoid anything with a high amount of fat or protein because of the reduced digestive ability that your stomach will have during exercise. Basically, your body is sending all of the blood that could be used for digestion to your running muscles. So if you eat a meal, it can sit on your stomach and cause upset stomach, or your body can just try to get rid of it real quickly and you can have an unpleasant running mishap. In general, if you plan on running an hour or less, you're probably not going to need to eat anything. But for a run of 60 to 90 minutes, you'll want to add a sports drink during your run. Now, for an effort of 90 plus minutes, incorporate a pre-run snack and then use a sports drink plus some kind of energy gel or sports bar, energy chews, gummy bears, or some kind of trail mix during the run. Don't forget to practice what you eat before, during, and after running. Like I said earlier, pre-run foods should be high in carbohydrates and low in fat, fiber, and protein, which will make it more easily digestible. By the time you get to race day, you should have figured out what your body runs best on and not do anything new on race day. The night before isn't a time to experiment with new food or drink options either. Now, after finishing your run, you have about a 30-minute window to quickly replenish your body's carbohydrate stores. Try to consume something that combines carbohydrates and protein right away. Now, some people feel kind of nauseous after a run, and if you can't tolerate the thought of food, there are many recovery drink options available, or you can use good old-fashioned low-fat chocolate milk, which studies have found to be just as effective as many manufactured recovery drinks. Mistake number 7 is the wrong clothes. Now, clothing isn't going to make you a better or faster runner unless you're an elite athlete, but it can help make running a more comfortable experience. When you start getting more serious about running, you'll want to start investing in some technical running clothes. Now, unlike cotton clothing, synthetic fabrics such as CoolMax or DryFit wick moisture away from your skin. Although the technical fabric running clothes may cost a little bit more, you'll appreciate the comfort, especially during long runs. Now, when it comes to long runs, not all clothes are created equal. Like I said earlier, avoid cotton clothing. Cotton will absorb sweat and does not breathe well. Running in wet, sweaty clothes can make you cold, weigh you down on long runs, and can cause painful chafing. Rather, choose clothing that's made of fabrics that wick away sweat. This should include your socks, your underwear, shirts, and pants or shorts. These clothes are lightweight, provide a breeze when it's warm, help cool you down when it's hot, and help prevent chafing. Now, when you go out for your runs, be careful not to overdress. Once you warm up, your extra body heat will make it feel about 15 to 20 degrees warmer. So, for example, if the temperature is above 55 degrees, you'll probably be fine wearing a t-shirt and shorts. Now, finally, this may seem obvious, but choose running clothes that fit well. The pieces should move easily with your body and not bunch, bind, dig, or ride up. You don't want your clothing too tight, but you also might be annoyed if it has too much material and it's too loose. No one wants to hitch up their shorts every couple of steps. A good rule is that a garment is a good choice if you don't think about it during your run. If you're constantly having to tug or adjust the garment, the fabric or fit is probably wrong. This item may not be something that you want to use for your marathon experience.
Yeah, you should look forward to putting it on. Now that I think about it, the clothes that I wear out running are comfortable enough that I could lounge around in them, you know, if I wanted to get home from work and put something more comfortable on just to sit around the house.
Exactly.
I could put those on and do just fine.
Yeah, they should be movable, breathable, and comfortable when you're relaxed and in motion. The eighth running mistake would be bad running form. Now, running form involves the position of your body as you run. Having good form can save energy and decrease the chance of common running injuries. If you're a new runner, it's important to learn good running posture so that you don't pick up any bad habits. If you've been running for a while, be sure to evaluate your running form to see if there are areas that you need improvement. Many runners develop the bad habit of overstriding. In fact, overstriding by as much as 10% can increase your risk of injury. It's important to work on shortening your stride and developing a quick, even pace. Quicker leg turnover can make you a faster and more efficient runner. So don't forget the principles of good running form. This will become even more important as you're running for hours. Tense hands, arms, or shoulders can translate into energy drain and a very sore back. Your arms and your elbows will become stiff after keeping them in the same position for so long. So shake out your arms and shoulders every couple of miles or when you notice tension. Make sure that your head is up, your jaw's relaxed, your back straight, your stomach in, and that you aren't overstriding. Consistently using good form will translate into a much more comfortable running experience. The ninth running mistake would be running through injury. Now, if you run enough, at some point, you'll probably deal with injury to some degree. Hopefully, you'll catch it and deal with it early on. And better yet, it's important to be informed on how to effectively prevent running injuries. And we've also done a podcast on this, on how to prevent running injuries, so check that out if you haven't listened to it. Common causes of injury include overtraining, which is one of the most common causes, and it's important to learn what your body's running threshold is and not push past that. The second thing would be sudden change in routine. The third common cause of injury would be lack of rest between high-intensity workouts. Rest is a very important aspect of your training. The fourth thing would be a sudden increase in running distance. Remember the 10% rule and not increase your mileage more than 10% every week. Number five would be workouts that are too hard. You definitely need a balance of hard workouts and easy efforts and rest so that your body can recover effectively and build strength at a good rate. The sixth common cause of running injury would be changes in running surface. This is someone who maybe decided to take up trail running for the first time and wasn't adjusting their pace enough or paying attention and can step in a hole or trip over something. Make sure that if you are running on a new surface, make sure that you pay attention to what you're doing and that you're more careful. The final cause of injury would be wearing the wrong shoes or worn out shoes. So make sure that you're wearing the proper running shoes for your foot and your gait and that you replace them frequently enough. Also, stop at the first sign of injury. I always tell people to listen to your body. It's better to miss a couple of runs than push through it and have bigger problems down the road. If you're currently injured, think over the previous list to see what may have caused it. Making a couple of changes may get you back on the road to recovery and help prevent future injuries. Now, mistake number 10 is not testing everything before a race. I think it's really important to keep a running log to record your distance, your time, the training surface, maybe what clothing you were wearing, your diet, things like that. This information will help you evaluate the success of what you're doing down the road. Use your long runs as a time to experiment and do nothing new on race day. If you find that you're having issues during your long runs, look back at your running log to see what you ate that morning, how much fluid you took in, maybe your time, weather conditions, and see if you can pinpoint the source of your problems. Doing something new on race day will only set you up for a running mishap and possibly an injury. So practice every aspect of your race experience from shoes, clothing, hydration, fueling, and pace, and that's going to give you the best chance of success. It's normal to have nerves before a race, but you shouldn't have to be nervous about your running gear. Have confidence going into the race that you've eliminated as many variables as possible so you can focus on giving it your all.
So, Angie, you mentioned a running log. So what are some of the things that you write down in your running log?
Well, I have one that I got from Runner's World magazine. Frequently, if you purchase a subscription from them, they'll give you a running log as a kind of a bonus. And it basically shows 2 weeks at a time, and you write in the date, and then you record your mileage, the time it took you, things like your running surface, weather conditions, how you felt. It just leaves a blank for you to record any pertinent data that you feel like will be helpful to look back upon. And so then at the end of the week, you tally up your mileage, and you can even have year-to-date mileage, you know, in that. So, I mean, I use a paper version. A lot of people prefer inputting their data on a computer. If they have, you know, like a Garmin or something, they can plug their data from their watch into the computer and upload it. Whatever format you want to use is great. It's just important to have that record of what you've been doing in your training, so that if you've been noticing that every time you run hills, you've been having knee pain, then you can kind of look back and see any trends in your training, or if you are feeling really fatigued at a certain time every week, maybe you can look back and see if you've been doing too much, you need to add another rest day, you need to do some cross training. It's just an important evaluation tool.
All right, so to review part two of the 10 biggest mistakes runners make. Number 6 was not fueling or hydrating properly. Number 7, wearing the wrong clothes on a run. Number 8, bad running form. Number 9, running through injury. And number 10, not testing everything before a race. So I shouldn't drink a giant milkshake before my race, unless I'm used to doing that.
Exactly. Yeah, if you have an iron stomach and you're able to deal with a lot of dairy products and fat floating around your stomach before running, then go for it, but just don't do anything new before a race.
But what if it is offered to me free, like maybe at the expo, or one of the race event planners comes up and says, hey, you want a free milkshake? I don't know if I can turn that down before the race.
How about a free bout of diarrhea?
Oh, yeah, I see where this is going.
Yeah.
Okay, it's time for this episode's quick tip, and Angie's going to talk about how to save money on running gear.
Yes, if you're like me, you want to save money, but you also want to have good quality running gear. And so there are several places that offer some good deals. The first place to look is a specialty running store and race expos. Now, running stores, by and large, have the highest quality gear, but often it's not cheap. So you can save big money by buying apparel for next year at the end of the season. So now that we're going into fall, it would be a good time to shop your local specialty running store's sale rack for summer gear. Many stores also offer year-round discounts for members of area running clubs. So if you're a member of a running club, speak up and you may get a discount. Now, if you're at a race expo, many large races have vendors that sell running gear where participants pick up their race number, and a lot of these vendors offer expo specials. Sometimes you can get a really good deal. But then again, other times the special price isn't much better than the sticker price, so you have to know what you're looking for. At the last race expo that we were at, I found a great deal on a pair of running shoes. You know, they happened to have my size, and I knew that she was a good fit for my foot, so that was a really wonderful find.
And I paid for them.
He paid for them. What a wonderful husband.
Happy to do it.
So check out your specialty running store and race expo. A second place would be the big box and sporting goods stores. Now, you can find house brand technical apparel at stores like Target and Walmart, and then you can get name brand gear at sporting goods stores like Sports Authority or Dick's and many other sporting good places. Now, both offer sales and specials, and sporting goods stores often have good sale and clearance racks. Now, personally, I like the C9 by Champion brand at Target, and it's really improved in the last few years in terms of quality, fit, and color choice. So it's really my favorite house brand if I'm going to go that route. So definitely check that out. Another place would look would be a department store. Stores like Macy's, Kohl's, Sears, and JCPenney all sell running apparel. Now, if you're headed to the department store to get something, you might want to take a lap through the activewear section to see if they're running a sale. Also check out their clearance racks, and I found some great deals at different department stores. Now, discount stores like Marshall's, TJ Maxx, Ross often have name brand running apparel, but sometimes you do have to go through several racks of items to find that diamond in the rough. So, you know what you're looking for, and you can find some good deals. Now, if you live in an area with outlet stores, there's probably one that carries athletic gear. As with most outlet shopping, the sticker price might not be a better deal than you can find elsewhere, but you can really save some cash when they have sales and coupons. So you might want to sign up for an outlet's mailing list whenever possible to be alerted about upcoming sales, especially if it's a brand that you really like and the apparel's good, it has a good fit for you. Then definitely sign up for their mailing list and you'll know when your favorite apparel becomes available on sale. Finally, online. Now, you can not only find good deals on manufacturers' individual websites, but online running stores like Roadrunner Sports can simplify your search by offering multiple brands in one place, and often for one shipping charge. Now, make sure you review the return policy on each site, as some only offer credit to the site and not a full refund. Now, if you do sign up, these sites often send daily emails to let you know what's on sale for that day. So maybe if you're swimming in a sea of unread emails, this option might not be worth it for you. But you can definitely do price comparisons online and figure out if you're getting a good deal or not. And I guess the bottom line is make sure when you look for running apparel that you're buying the shoes for the right reason, because they are a good fit for your feet and not just because they're on sale. And when you're looking for running clothes, make sure it's the right fabric and the right fit.
Technical fabric. Not cotton.
That's right.
Even though our neighborhood is surrounded by cotton fields this time of year, all the cotton plants are in full bloom and the harvesters are out picking them here in southeast Missouri. And I like to wear cotton, but not when I run.
That's right. There's definitely a time and place for cotton, but technical fabrics for your running experience.
Especially if you sweat as much as Angie does.
Thanks for rubbing that in.
If you would like more information on marathon training, head over to our website, marathontrainingacademy.com, and you can read other articles and listen to other podcast episodes that we have done. And also sign up for a free audio gift called The 7 Pillars of Successful Marathon Training. We'd like to give you that as a instant downloadable audio that you can listen to and get well on your way to running a marathon and changing your life.
Well on my way, well on my way, well on my way. Well on my way.